Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this All Saints Sunday. The title of our message is Saints, Forgiven Sinners. Based on our reading from Revelation 7, let me read some selected verses for you again. St. John wrote, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst any more. For the Lamb in their midst of the throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes." On this All Saints Day, I'm reminded of an old, beautiful spiritual. You often see sung on the streets of New Orleans in the wake of someone's funeral. It's a blues gospel song, and it goes something like this. Oh, when the saints come marching in, oh, when the saints come marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints come marching in. Today on All Saints Day, I invite you to open up your bulletin and find the blue insert as we consider our theme, Saints, Forgiven Sinners. The Bible tells us that a saint is simply a forgiven sinner. Both those people who are still alive and those who, by God's grace, God has taken to be with Himself in heaven. When St. Paul wrote his epistles, his letters in the New Testament, he often began these letters by saying, to the saints at Rome, to the saints at Corinth, to the saints at Ephesus. Of course, he was writing to living people. But also in the church, we remember those forgiven sinners, those saints of God who have gone ahead of us onto heaven. And so, today on this All Saints Sunday, in the church's memory, all the saints of old pass before us in a review, like in a parade. In this parade, we see the Old Testament saints of God, like Abraham and Moses and David. Then come the New Testament saints, like Peter, Paul, and John. Then come the saints of the early church, like Justin Martyr, that man who would rather be beheaded, and he was, rather than to sacrifice to pagan gods. Also the saints of the early church, like Patrick, the first apostle to Ireland. And then comes the great reformers, like Martin Luther, who moved the church from the crumbling sand of corrupt leaders back to the bedrock of the Word of God, as we spoke about last Sunday. And who else follows in this parade of saints? Well, we stand on tiptoes as we watch the parade go by. And we see a faithful Christian grandmother who taught us the Word of God. We see a dedicated father who demonstrated by his life for his family what it meant Sunday after Sunday to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. We look and see a loving Sunday school teacher who maybe took us on her knee and wiped the tears from our face as she reminded us of the love of our Savior. Maybe we think of a husband or a wife that we sat next to for many years in this same building and now whom we miss so very much. Now, is fellowship possible with these departed loved ones? Not through seances or other superstitious or godly means. Don't even go down that road. But where then? Where shall we turn on this All Saints Day? Let's turn to God's Word, to the book of Revelation, chapter 7. St. John, in his God-granted vision of heaven, simply tells us this, that the saints of God are by God's hand and His side forevermore in heaven. John says, I looked, and I saw a great multitude from every tribe, every nation, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands. Who are these in John's vision? These are the saints. These are the saints, the entire parade of believers from the Old Testament, the New Testament, the early church, the times of the reformers, our own believing loved ones. The resurrected power of Jesus has brought them home, and they are by His side. They were not left in a lonely, cold grave. In death, they were simply on their way home to their heavenly home. It's a homecoming for God's saints as they gather before His throne and before Jesus, the crucified Lamb. Now, Psalm 116, verse 15 tells us this. Any of us who have lost a loved one, listen to these words from Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Now, the passing of our loved ones may be anything but precious to us who remain here, but the psalmist by faith saw the other side. He saw God's great heart of love longing for the homecoming of one of His redeemed children. We only see the home leaving, the going away. But the psalmist saw the homecoming. We see the loss. He saw the gain. We see the separation and bereavement. He saw the joy and the reunion. We said the good night here. He saw the good morning there. In John's vision of heaven, we see how these saints of God appear before God, standing confident and forgiven in white robes, a sign of purity and forgiveness. Their sins have been washed away. What does the text say? By the blood of the Lamb Jesus, slain for the sins of the world. And in their hands, did you hear the book of Revelation? In the hands, these saints of God are described as waving palm branches. Now hold it. How many of you remember the scene on Palm Sunday when the multitudes were waving their palm branches, shouting Hosanna to Jesus, the triumphantly entering King? Well, an ancient tradition in the church was to place a tiny palm branch in the hand of a departed believer at their burial. It was a symbol of faith and victory, as we see in Revelation 7, these saints of God, verse 10, waving their palm branches and singing, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to His Lamb. Jesus once said, there will be joy in heaven over just one sinner that repents. If that's the case, can you imagine this scene painted by St. John where not just one sinner, but the entire throng of every people, every nation, every tongue, every language, once sinners, now redeemed saints in the joy of heaven with Him forever. Now, there is much happiness over the saints in heaven. But are the saints themselves happy? What do you think? According to what St. John saw in that vision, in heaven, they hunger no more. In heaven, they thirst no more. In heaven, God will wipe every tear from their eyes. No one in this congregation is without the grief of losing someone near and dear to them. St. John, in his God-granted vision of heaven, said, "In heaven, no more hunger. In heaven, no more thirst. In heaven, God wipes every tear from their eyes." The text says, "The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat." It's a symbol that the hardships and pains which we suffer in this world will no longer be there in heaven. Can I ask for something a little un-Lutheran this morning? Can I ask for an amen?
Amen.
Amen. They are in the presence of Jesus, their Savior, safe, secure, celebrating, maybe even fishing. What do you think the estimate of their happiness is? Do you ever think these saints of God read the newspaper headlines that we're forced to read? Do you think they see the brutality and the wars and acts of terrorism on the nightly news? Do they feel a twitch of pain or anxiety? No way! To quote Martin Luther's great Reformation hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," which we sang last Sunday, "And take they our life, our goods, fame, child and wife. Let these all be gone. They have yet nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth." A final question. And if you're timing, it's a shorter sermon today. Short, but sweet, like some of you. A final question. It's good that we're laughing today. In the face of death on All Saints Sunday, we laugh in joy. If death is the worst thing this life can do to us, we say, "Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Thanks be to God, we have the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." You can look it up. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58. One final question. Is there any way we can fellowship with our departed saints when we still remain here on earth? We answer this question in this way. Faith unites us. Even though we're aware of the great divide that separates life on earth and life in heaven, there is a bond that draws us near to these saints, and that bond that draws us near to them is our common Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of the living and the dead, the Lord of the saints on earth and the saints in heaven as well. Oh, we wish to be near the saints, don't we? Whenever we go to Spokane to see my mama and the rest of our loved ones, we first take a ride out to Ron's Hamburgers, our favorite hamburger joint in Spokane. And about 3 minutes up the road is a huge cemetery out in the valley. And there's where my papa is laid to rest. And my baby brother. And my grandpa. And my grandma. And my uncle. And my cousins. Oh, we long to be near the saints. We're homesick for them. We want to hear their voices. I want to play catch with my papa again. We want to hear their voices. We want to sit across a table for them. What we would give, so many of us, for just one more day with our departed loved ones. Such longing, then, draws us to their place of rest. The graveyard, the cemetery. But do you know, Christian believers, if you want to be near to your dear ones who have died in the Lord, the place is not really just the cemetery. where only their physical remains lie at rest. The place to fellowship with them, to be close to them, is right here. Right here. At the Lord's table. What does the creed say? We believe in the communion of saints. Here at the Lord's table, God draws us together. The Holy Scripture tells us that communion is a foretaste of the feast to come. Holy Communion is that sacrament that links us both to our Lord and to the saints who celebrate and praise Him in heaven. Revelation 7 has told us that Jesus the Lamb is at the very center of everything heaven is about. John says, "For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. He has washed their robes and made them white, and He wipes every tear from their eyes." Today, this same Jesus, the Lamb of God, is truly present here. He is at the very center of everything it means to be the church on this earth. Here, would you look there? Here at this altar of Holy Communion, at this holy table, Jesus is our good shepherd who's in our midst. He washes our robes white as snow and makes them white with His forgiveness. And at this communion rail, make no mistake about it, He is there to wipe every tear from our eyes, every tear, every sin, every guilt from our eyes and from our hearts. He is here in Holy Communion. He gives us His very body and blood together with the bread and wine. And He does this for the cleansing of our robes, for the forgiving of our sins. Kneeling at that altar rail with Him, we have closeness and fellowship with the saints who already have what we're waiting for, the joy of seeing our Lord Jesus face to face. Yes, we are a part of the church on earth and the church in heaven. We are a part of the saints on earth and the saints in heaven. Every time we partake of Holy Communion, it's like we're getting an early start, and joyfully so, before our promotion to be with the saints in glory. Now here's where we're rounding third and heading toward home with the sermon. A church sign once had these words on it: "Faith is trusting God even when questions go unanswered." Let me read that again. "Faith is trusting God even when questions go unanswered." You see, some things we don't fully comprehend this side of heaven, like the loss of loved ones. But in heaven, the Scripture tells us everything will be clear. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:12 these precious words. Listen to this for a promise to take home today with you. Paul writes, "For now we see, but in a mirror dimly. Then we shall see face to face. Now we only know in part, but then we shall know fully." There's a cemetery in the old city of Jerusalem. And this cemetery is a tombstone, a grave marker, of a young British soldier of only 27 years of age who lost his life assisting the Palestine police. His parents had the following inscription marked on his tombstone. It's at the bottom of your sermon outline, by the way. The inscription they had on his tombstone read like this: "We'll meet again at God's right hand, and then we'll fully understand." Thank God for All Saints Sunday. So, dear saints of God, thank God for what all of His children have to look forward to in heaven. Can I ask you again for an amen?
Amen.
Amen. In the name of Jesus, happy All Saints Day. Amen.